what do you call it, the CEO of the chairperson, the CEO of Productivity South Africa. Welcome to the session. We are looking forward to learning more about Productivity South Africa. And we know that we talk in health about the reproductive health. Productivity South Africa's mandate is almost at the same level, to look at how do we produce more in South Africa to contribute towards growing our economy. I've not looked at your document yet. We do know that in the global space, the sale of products is very important. When we look at the quality of some of the products on our market, we are very worried. And our worries is increased by the fact that many of these products of poor quality are not necessarily manufactured in South Africa. When I came to Parliament, I said I want to buy my suit from Rex Truform. They have a factory here in Cape Town. And when I came here, I discovered they don't have a factory. But they have a factory. They have one.
They
had. It's not there. You see, Rex Truform was one of those textile members that really created quality products. Why did they have to close? Now, honorable members, in the same way, many of us who had lunch had chicken. Or what looked like chicken. It didn't taste like chicken at all. And we know about the crisis in the poultry sector in our country. I'm concluding just by saying that we're dealing with that issue. Now, I'm not sure, is it tomorrow or is it next week?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Tomorrow we're dealing with the crisis in the poultry sector. Wow. For the members of Productivity South Africa, we have here, apart from this being delegates from provinces, we also have 9 departments of government that reports to the 2 select committees. So we have the exact same members, but 2 committees. The one is on trade and international relations, and we have tourism in there as well. And the other one is on economic and business development, and there's 6 departments within the economic cluster. Now, someone was saying earlier on that the Department of Labor works with the Department of Education on TVETs, but they did not mention the relationship of the Department of Labor as well with the Department of Economic Development, where Minister Ibrahim Patel is. So we would be engaging with your presentation from this wide perspective as members of this select committee. And I want to say thank you to all the members that are here, and we are at liberty to engage from that perspective. But before we do that, DG and your team, you may need to introduce the CEO to the other members. We welcome you and appreciate that you've made this time available. Your person who is very brief is not here now, so I'll have to repeat the question. Give us an indication just so that we can prepare our psyche in terms of how long you will take for the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. The
The CEO has just confirmed that he's going to take 30 minutes. As I had introduced him before, he's Mr. Mutunye Mutiba. The CEO of Productivity South Africa. He started on the 1st of April 2016. So he's just about to complete a year now in his position. This is the entity of the Department of Labor. He's going to do the presentation, Jefferson, and together we'll deal with the questions. Thank you.
Your hands, Mr. Mutiba.
Thank you, Chairperson, and members of the committee. Good afternoon. I had the opportunity of sitting in the morning to pick up on the issue that the committee is interested in, and also, I think, as a precursor to the presentation as reflected to by the Chairperson, I'm taking note of that. I felt I should start off on the slide that talks to the mandate so that I give context to that. In particular, the fact that as much as this organization is over 41 years old, I think promulgation of the Employment Services Act began to give us shape and focus. To the extent that in that act, a mandate has been revised to indicate that we promote employment growth and productivity, thus contribute to South Africa's socio-economic development and economic efficiency. And I want to then locate that in the next slide, where I'm giving a reflection. It's just unfortunate that your documents are in black and white, but just to indicate how we locate in the mandate of the Department of Labor. If you look at that first yellow, improving economic efficiency and productivity, because that's exactly what we are about. And I would that at some stage when one has an opportunity would come back here to reflect on the Institute of Management Development Report, which begins to reflect on the competitiveness of countries, where it does show that of 61 countries that are being evaluated or assessed on competitiveness, South Africa comes at 53, which is not a good story to tell. So, to the extent that most of the things that we have begun to do are looking at that report, the four measures, one it precisely being business efficiency, so that we zoom in there and assist enterprises to be productive and competitive. And I'll skip the rest of the slides and go to slide number 8, just to indicate to the committee that we are trying to have some presence countrywide. Although I was saying to the DG, my evaluation has been that it might be that when you go to the provinces to establish our presence, you may not find us because of exactly the fact that we are saying if you go to Gauteng, you'll find a physical presence, which means we visit Limpopo and the Northwest as and when there is work to be done. The same thing, we have a physical presence in the Western Cape, and then that office services Northern Cape as well as the Free State, and then also in Region 3, KwaZulu-Natal is a physical presence, and then you have support being provided to enterprises in the Eastern Cape as well as Mpumalanga. With some of the things that we do now, actually, that's one thing that we are revisiting to ensure that that presence is not just the physical presence of an office, but actually it's replicated by the type of service that we offer. I will then also just to reflect that if you locate us within the work of government in terms of the service delivery outcomes, the focus was on those three service delivery outcomes: decent employment through inclusive growth, a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path, and outcome 12, an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service. And you can see that what we tried to do was to link that to particular sections in the Act, in the Employment Services Act. I will also, in the interest of time, skip the slide and go to this slide that talks to at what level of intervention in the enterprises that we assist when we talk about the business life cycle. That bell curve shows at what point in the life cycle of an enterprise do we intervene. We intervene at emerging enterprises. We also intervene in stable enterprises in order to enhance their competitiveness so that they can be world-class. We also intervene in enterprises that are facing economic distress. So those are the critical things. So you'll pick up in the report, when I talk to the report, that you'll see where we're seeing at the level of emerging enterprises, this is what we've done. At the level of enterprises that are stable, which we want to enhance their competitiveness, this is what we've done. And in the instances where they are facing economic distress, these are the interventions that we put in place to ensure that those that are in the ICU, we try and resuscitate them. And I'm deliberately raising this committee members because at least you are in the provinces and you are able to pick up where enterprises are operating, to the extent that we keep complaining that more especially in terms of our turnaround solutions program, that we don't have any warning system. And we keep saying people on the ground should advise us immediately that there are challenges around the prospect of enterprises retrenching. The sectors that we're involved in particular, we greater focus is on mining, agro-processing, and manufacturing. But if you look at them broadly, it's manufacturing. So that's a space in which we operate. I will then skip most of those slides just to reflect. If you go to slide, perhaps before I go to this one, if I could just share with the committee, I included this slide. It's not in your pack, but I think it's important that I just give a reflection on it, because it tracks the summary of our performance in the 2015-2016 financial year. It's not a good story to talk about. We've done an extensive analysis of this, to the extent that if you look at an organization like us cannot be performing at the level of 34%. And we have done an analysis per key performance indicator, that if you look at the area where, in essence, we have to support enterprises facing economic distress, we had 7 indicators of which none was achieved, which is a serious indictment to us as an organization. And then all throughout, to the extent that of the 42 indicators, we only achieved 17 and failed on 25. And the only story that one can talk about is where we're talking about workplace challenge. That's where we are intervening in enterprises that we have to improve their organizational effectiveness. Out of 8, we achieved 7. And then also national awareness campaign, out of 7, we achieved 5. I always say an organization that achieves below 70%, questions should be raised about its leadership. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying questions should be raised so that we are able to do the right thing and improve on their performance. The slides that follow after that is just an indication of our performance per strategic objective. If you look at that first one on your page 16, if you talk about enterprises that are going through economic distress, we're saying we assisted 43 companies at a cost of 11.4 million, and the intervention assisted us to save over 6,900 jobs, and the future forums are about a culture of enterprises or people in enterprises beginning to talk to issues of productivity. And here we're talking about employers as well as workers where they engage on productivity issues. And we established 39 future forums, and of those, 374 employees were trained, and then we also trained 112 champions. That is the productivity champions. I deliberately put this slide so that when you read this slide, you can read it against the previous slide. This slide gives us the work that was done by the CCMA in the area of Section 189. You look at the numbers in terms of employees that were likely to be retrenched, 58,000, and then you weigh against our intervention, where I'm saying we saved 6,900 or so. You can see that it's if one has to look at it thoroughly, it's insignificant. We can provide reasons. One of the reasons is that we did not have sufficient funding that we expected from the UIF. But the argument still remains, job losses are a national crisis and we need to respond to them differently. So, however, this is the little that we could do in the 2015-16 financial year. If you look at strategic objective 2, where we're talking about capacitated education and training service providers as well as SMEs, we identified and supported 6,900 and so beneficiaries on productivity-related concepts. 642 were educators, 4,000 of those were emerging entrepreneurs, 934 were workers, 299 were skills development facilitators, and 205 managers. And that's where I indicated the issue of ensuring that at least we promote social dialogue at factory floor. And to the extent that we've established strategic partnerships with institutions like the SANACO, we're beginning to see the benefits out of that, because out of that we're able to train over 1,400 members of the cooperatives, and we tried and split that in terms of women as well as males and youth, and you can see that the majority of those we trained are women. Strategic objective 3, chairperson and committee members, this is where we're actually talking about our intention to ensure that enterprises in this country are productive and world-class from a competitive point of view. And this is a program that we implement in partnership with the DTI, actually fully funded by the DTI, and we identified and supported almost 610 companies which are actually implementing the workplace challenge program. 184 new entrepreneurs joined the program. 278 companies are implementing the program, and 332 enterprises are in aftercare. Now, the aftercare aspect of it is those companies that are, I said, are facing economic distress. We identify some of them so that once we have assisted them, we then put them on this program so that they don't fall back and not grow. Now, if you talk about the reason why we're just saying nine success stories, those are the types of companies that we pull out and then we take them through the productivity awards system. We start off in the provinces to identify companies and then from there we finally compete at the national level. So if you go to the annual report, we have actually put a synopsis of each of those success stories, just to say, this is where we intervened, and this is what came out of that intervention. And we have, if you look at your slide 20 and so on, we've actually indicated the numbers of those companies that have actually gone through the productivity program in terms of those success stories that we shared with yourselves. Let me not dwell much on slide 21 that talks to national awareness campaigns, just to indicate that there's a lot of work that we're doing in that area to try and popularize popularize the productivity movement and to ensure that at least productivity becomes everyone's business. So as we say, we managed to hold productivity awards in seven provinces, excluding Free State and the Northern Cape. We had a few challenges in those provinces to the extent that we could not get appropriate support from the respective economic development departments. And we have noted that, but we're working very hard for this year that we do something in that direction. On the next slide, we have just given you a synopsis of the partnerships that we've established, because our work, we draw value in strategic partnerships, because some of them were able to actually draw from their book in terms of companies that would actually be loaded on our programs. If you look, for example, the partnership with CEDA, it's helping us because you're able to pull out of their book the number of companies that you can put on your aftercare program, more especially those that are beginning to pick up the challenges. And on slide 23, it's internal focus interventions in terms of our human resources management division that we try as much as we could to manage talent in the organization, and we've given that to the extent that of that which we've identified, 17 career paths maps were generated in those respective areas. And then I would like to just then go to the slide that talks to challenges for 2015-16. That's what we pulled out of the annual report, Charter Senate Committee members. One of the key things that we found to be a challenge is the decline in economic activity and the increase in companies in distress, just as I've shown with that CCMA slide, that once you pick up that challenge, then if you have to respond, one, you need financial resources. And you can see that if the CCMA goes through 56,000 companies on Section 189, and we only assist 7,000, then you can see that there's a problem. That if we were to do that, that would put some great strain on our resources. The other issue that we have always been raising is the issue of funding, that the entity is underfunded and undercapacitated. To address that, I have had extensive discussions with the Director General, one, to ensure that at least the funding that comes from the UIF comes on time and in full, so that at least at the beginning of the financial year, one can be able to plan in advance. It takes us 9 months to intervene in a company to take it out of distress. Now, if I receive money like in the 2015-16 financial year in December, I only have 3 months to intervene, which means there is very little you can do. And I think with the intervention, we're beginning to see a positive movement. The other area that we picked up a challenge on is funding appropriated by Parliament. That is, in terms of the administration, it's insufficient to the extent that we're able to and unable to do what we plan to do, in particular, to attract appropriate schemes into the entity. And then one other thing is that the entity is not appropriately profiled, and limited awareness and culture of productivity and competitiveness. That is a critical challenge for us. And as I said, in terms of the interventions for 2016-17, we have had extensive discussion with the UIF as well as the department, and 97 million was earmarked for this financial year. However, we have not received all that money. Part of the problem, it's us, that we flouted on the funding agreement to the extent that UIF withheld some of the funds. And then also the issue of the research agenda, that what we would have to focus on is on measuring and evaluating productivity improvement and competitiveness in workplaces, so that we can begin to measure the extent to which the economy is performing. As I said, our performance rate as a country in terms of economic efficiency and business efficiency is low. So there's a lot of work that has to be done in the area of research in order to improve on that. The next slides are very specific to programs. If you look at this slide, I'll just summarize it. This slide actually says, from the time that you want to intervene in a company up to the point at which you say, I have saved so many jobs, you have to go through various steps. It's about 9 steps, and the outcome of this, that is number of jobs saved. So all those other steps are plenary steps, up to the point where you say, of the 7,500 that we planned for 15-16, only 6,976 was achieved. If you go to the next slide, that slide talk about our intervention in particular in the emerging enterprises, where we are saying a number of emerging enterprises trained, of those that we planned 5,500, we could only achieve 4,800. Educators, 950 planned, we could only achieve 642. Workers to be trained on productivity, we planned 900. That's an area at least where we achieved 934. And the number of skills facilitators, skills development facilitators, we planned 550, and we could only achieve 299. Number of managers trained, 160. In that area, we achieved by training 205. And number of graduates that we take on our program, we targeted 5 and could only take on board 2. On the next page, it's work that has to do in the research area. And I can indicate that for all intents and purposes, nothing was achieved in that area, which is a serious concern for the organization, that all the reports that we planned for that particular financial year, at the end of the financial year, none was published. And we have given various reasons, lack of capacity and sign-off from the commissioning entities, which suggests that we need to do more in that area. And if you look at the value chain competitiveness area from research as well, the number of seminars conducted, we planned 9, we could only achieve 8. In the next slide, also on the workplace challenge program, number of new entrepreneurs that joined the workplace challenge program, we planned 201 and could only achieve 184. It's a concern for us in that when we talk about competitiveness, actually that's the area that needs more attention. We have noted it, and a lot of effort has been put into that area. I have begun to see better performance in this area in the 2016-2017 financial year. And however, all other targets were met. The next slide is about the reports. As I said, we have not been able to publish the report that we planned to publish for that financial year. If we go to the slide that talks to marketing and communication, one can comfortably say that a lot of work has been done in this area. We, almost all the targets that we planned, we have achieved them. But I think the challenge remains from the point of volume. There is a capacity to reach the country broadly so that we can begin to talk about influencing the behavior in terms of productivity and competitiveness. And Chairperson, allow me not to go through the rest of the slides except if the committee wants me to do so. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we get any indication from members of the committee, not on questions yet, on the world order, but on the program focus for 2016-17. Are we okay that we familiarize ourselves with that and not necessarily go through it now? I see heads shaking. Okay. Honorable Walder? We are opening it up for questions now. Thank you, CEO, for the presentation. I thought you were anxious to raise a question, Honorable Walder. You're just settling your mic.
No, I think it's working. Hello, can you hear me? Okay. I was going to say that I think we should look at the okay, we're going on to the financials now. Or are we going to do that after questions?
No, we're... Are there financials?
Yeah.
So what are you
Yes, Chairperson, I think...
The mics are not working properly. What are you proposing, Honourable
Baba? I'm saying that the financials are important, and I think we should just go through the financials, but if we're going to do it after the questions, I think we should do it rather now, then we can take the questions at one time. Give us a better understanding when we've looked at the financials to know exactly how much money is being spent here on this entity, and then we can relate that with what the entity is achieving or failing to achieve. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chairman, are you on the same question? Or do you want us to proceed with the financial?
No, that's what I wanted to suggest earlier, Chair. But with the plea, of course, that we just like a Kaizer Chiefs striker CEO straight to the polls. We had an opportunity to look at them. So just highlight on issues that you think should be to the attention of the committee members.
We should be supporting Platinum and Stars.
Let's make that stand up.
Chair, if I just have to go to the slide that talks to consolidated. If you look at the 2015-16 financial situation, our budget was 112.5 million, and we realized only 99.2. And if you look at it, 46 million is what is appropriated by Parliament. And then the rest, if you look at the workplace challenge, is what we received from the DTI. However, the other areas are, because in terms of the law, Productivity SA can deliver services for which we can cost. Unfortunately, if you look at all these areas, that's where we're picking up a shortfall. We're not raising the revenue that we had actually planned, to the extent that ultimately we're sitting with a variance of over 13 million. I think that's one area of concern. The next one is if you look at the expenditure over the revenue that we generated, as I indicated, we generated 96 million and our expenditure was at 99 million. We ended up the year with a 2.4 million deficit. So effectively on our books, we have an overspending on our budget of 2.4. However, if you look at the 2014-15 financial year, I think we've managed to diminish that that overexpenditure. In a nutshell, if you just a summary of our revenue generation capability in terms of our income, we are unable to raise the revenue that we planned, and that ultimately has implications for our operations. Thank you.
Okay, an interesting way of presenting it, which I find very accommodating. Honourable Baud, are you happy with that as the presentation on what is before us? Looking at the same data, just a different way. Nothing has changed.
Just look at the slide before this one. There's
The slide before then is sponsored program.
This one, yeah.
He didn't speak to it.
No, no, he did speak to this. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Looking at this slide, I'm just wondering, you indicated your income, you were generating income. When you say you're generating income, you mean the income that you're receiving from the various departments, like the Department of Labor and so on? What do you mean exactly by you are generating income?
No. Let's do it this way. My question was about the presentation itself. It looks like we are satisfied with that. Let's then have questions on the entire presentation. So you have your one question related to the income generation. You are allowed to take another one if you so wish, on Roboda. Are you okay for now? Okay, let's look at other hands. Honorable Ntere, please proceed.
Can I limit my whatever that I want to say to comments? CEO, there are three observations that I see from your presentation, and I want to start probably acknowledging your candid way of presenting a report, that you're acknowledging your shortfalls as an entity. One, I think there's an appreciation from productivity in South Africa that growth and productivity are competitive. But we cannot be able to elevate our competitiveness in the absence of research capacity that we need to have. I don't know how possible are we going to be doing that. And there's explicit information from the slides that you presented that, in fact, research capacity has not collapsed. It's non-existent in your institution. And I think that's one thing that I want to note. Secondly, your slide 20 talks about your support to SANACO. And I want to put it to you that go to each and every local municipality in the country. You would find that there's a directorate responsible for economic development and cooperatives, and all of them do what you do. Train cooperatives every 3 months, and everyone at the end of the year says, no, we have capacitated cooperatives. The reality of the matter is that we have not even come close to what the Asian Tigers have been able to do with the cooperatives. Because why? We keep on doing the same thing over and over again. I think productivity South Africa must identify that which it is going to be different and try to do it. But training cooperatives does not serve a purpose. I think your 9 success stories comparatively to 324, 184 and 200 something numbers that you gave us is very low. Productivity South Africa must be able to change the ratio of success equivalent to the ratio of the problems that you are sitting with. But also, quite explicit in your report, it's over-reliance on the national fiscal. It's very explicit in your report that what we are expropriating as Parliament is very minimal. But I think there should be an effort to say productivity South Africa is then empowered by legislation to also drive some revenue mechanism, and that should be one of the focus area. But we must then applaud you, Chair, that in terms of good governance, 4 board meetings scheduled, all of them set, and we are sure that the board will then have a finger on the pulse of the entity moving forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Allow me to just raise some questions now, then I can raise others later. You continuously see refers to your annual report. Now, sorry that it's my first day in Parliament today. I've been in other fora. Did you distribute that report to us? If not, can you make it available to us? That's the first one. The second one is
why are you not cooperating with any of the academic institutions, particularly those that are doing training for masters in business administration, like Gibbs and Mancosa, but also some of the government tertiary institutions? My following question then would be on the priority economic sectors targeted. There are findings that the tourism sector plays a significant role in job creation. Now, I know that the department has its own award ceremonies for the tourism sector, but we just want to know, are you engaged in any dialogue so that you can share experiences with each other? Because the Department of Tourism reports to us as well. And we are trying to break down the silo operations within government. Let me leave that as my questions for now, and then take another bite in the second round. Honorable, are you okay for now, or do you want to raise yours now, sir? We're going to have a second round, so you can always pass. You'll take the second round.
Thank you.
Can we then ask DGCO to respond to that round, please?
I think the first question was about do we raise revenue? The answer is yes. And I'll link it to the question that says, it looks like we were relying more on the money coming from the fiscus. The reality is, if you look in terms of Section 40 of the Act, our sources of revenue are threefold. One is revenue appropriated, that is, money is appropriated by Parliament. The second is grants that we receive, like the grant that we receive from the UIF, as well as the DTI. But then the third is we can offer services for pay. So we can intervene in a company like Anglo American to assist them with their business processes to improve their efficiency for which they pay. Now that's the area where we're not very strong in terms of ensuring that once we have business, we deliver on that business. I can give an example. The Transnet, in terms of the enterprise development program, has allocated over 18 million, rand, which has actually been paid in advance to us from 2014. But we have not been able to actually ensure that we deliver on the annual target, so that at least we raise about 3 million of that money per annum. So on realizing this challenge, that is why we then looked at our business model and say, do we really have capability to can ensure that as much as we receive this 46 million from Parliament, and our budget being, in terms of program implementation, 110 million, can we strike partnerships with entities that could assist us? In the 2016-17 financial year, I'm sure when I come back to this committee, I'll begin to show you what has happened. Because we're able to go to the Public Investment Corporation to say to them, the enterprises that are on your book, if they go through economic distress, the first port of call should be productivity, South Africa, as a commitment in that direction, and so on and so forth. So we targeted state-owned enterprises also on their enterprise and supplier development program, effectively saying to them, through our programs, we can actually assist you to implement your broad-based black economic empowerment targets as per the codes of good practice. And we're beginning to see traction in that direction and the confidence level, because we do have some level of capacity to can turn a company around. And we believe that with the partnerships that we have established, like with the Japan Productivity Center, where they are actually enhancing the capacity of our consultants, we believe that with a new business model, we can be able to do more, to the extent that our thinking is, of the revenue that we receive, if you look at the current split, it's actually 60% from Parliament. We want to turn that around. But that should become 60-40. And one is beginning to see signs of the movement in that direction. I've noted the observations. In essence, these are the issues that if you look at the strategic plan 2017-18, it captures those. To say, you cannot, if you're a productivity institute, you cannot intervene where it matters most, so that at least you can begin to see the multiplier effect. And Chair, it also goes to the question that you raised of the tourism sector. It was deliberate that we have not intervened in that direction. Why? Because our focus is more on manufacturing for now. And we looked at the extent to which the manufacturing sector is shedding jobs, the mining sector is shedding jobs, as well as agriculture, in particular, the agro-processing. So we try to incubate those so that at least our interventions are focused. Yes, as far as the 2015-16 performance is concerned, I cannot be proud as a CEO to say we actually assisted the economy. But I can indicate that the last count that I did in terms of our performance, we moved from 34% to 70%. On average, after the third quarter. Now, that actually shows that if you focus, you pick up on those sectors that are going through pain, you target those sectors that have a potential for export and so on, and you support them, you can begin to see something happening in that direction.
Sorry, CEO, I just wanted to make sure that I heard you correctly. You said you improved from 34 to?
To 70%.
To 70%.
On average.
More
than
double.
Yeah. Okay. The issue of cooperatives, the reality is if you walk in and train numbers without impact analysis, you sit with the challenge that the honorable member was raising. That yes, you've pushed numbers, but it is not outcome oriented. The question of what next after that level of training. But I want to emphasize that the nature of training that we give is on productivity improvement. The management of cost, the management of speed in terms of delivery, and the management productivity, that is in terms of quality. So it's not just any other type of training that would be offered by anybody else. It's focused on those three things within the productivity environment, so that we capacitate enterprises on managing cost, we capacitate them on managing quality, and also ensuring that if they have an order, they deliver on time. So it may sound like we push numbers to that extent, but if they begin to implement those things that were shown, you may see the difference. What we have to do is to go back and say, after the training, what happened? So so that we are able to pick up on that, on the impact. And then the issue of doing more in relation to the national challenge, I accept that. The question, the report, Chair, I operated on the assumption that the report was tabled early in the year, but we will ensure that the report is distributed. On the collaboration with academic institutions, we are actually working very hard. I know that we are finalizing a memorandum of agreement with the University of Johannesburg. Because one of the things that we're looking at is to influence curriculum, so that at least we could start at tertiary education, where students do studies that are productivity and competitiveness related. So there's a milestone in that area, and we're also leveraging the African Union agreement with Japan, because through that program, there's a lot of funding that is going to come through to African states, and through our leadership of the Pan-African Productivity Association, we're looking at this area to say there's a lot that we can learn from the Japanese approach to productivity, to the extent that we want to massify the extent to which we train both our consultants, but also train people in the workplaces on this. So there's an agreement in the pipeline in that direction. Yeah, as I indicated, on the private sector, it was deliberate that we did not target the tourism sector, but our focus was on manufacturing-related sectors. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. On Mohwell. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, CEO. Once again, this afternoon, I appreciate your presentation. But, you know, I'm worried. You know, you said you have improved to 70%, but again, I want to believe you. I have no reason. You have not given us a reason not to believe you now. So be that as it may, we will cross that bridge when we get there. But because now this period becomes water under the bridge, because this period is events have overtaken us. But moving forward, you have considered to the following, and I need clarity on them. One, productivity in South Africa is not appropriately profiled, and you're doing something about it. Could you elaborate what is it that you're doing? You don't have permanent visibility or permanent presence in, I think you were only in 3 provinces. By majority, you're not there. That's my first question. The second part of my question is, you have also indicated that there are a lot of reports, you know, in a presentation that you have published on research, but, I mean, we have developed and they will be published. I mean, I'm sure this expenditure, you know, public funds involved, but those reports are not published. What is the latest as we're sitting in this boardroom today? And what are the challenges, if any? Why are these reports not made available so that we can all study them? And lastly, through your chair, perhaps that's my third one, your relationship with, because from where I come from, in Eastern Cape, the rural areas mainly, the only immediate service people see will be your SEDA, small enterprise development agents, that they walk into offices that are visible, you know, in towns. What is your relationship with SEDA? Because SEDA helps them in a small way. I'm talking about emerging entrepreneurs, now that you are also assisting in that regard. And I would want us to you to assist us. And then lastly, you know, on the manufacturing industry, I know back home, in
in Kiwilemstown in particular, there's a township called Timbalza. There's been lots and lots of factories and marketing, I mean, the manufacturing was thriving there. They've been shut down. But I'm raising this because there are thousands and thousands of people sitting with skills that were trained by the Chinese, the Filipinos of that time during the homeland system. And those people are readily available, you know, to be assisted there because they have the skills, but they just need institutions, government institutions to come on board. And there has been no movement in that space except to the frustrations. What is your take on that? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me take mine on the second round. My first would be to say that having a good product, having a quality product, is a good thing, but it's not the best thing. Our findings indicate that many of the SMMEs and cooperatives are having difficulty with market access. Is productivity as a locating yourself so that you can leverage that shortcoming? That's my first question. My second one would be on the slide that you have your organizational structure. You are mentioning the KZN regional office and the Cape Town regional office, but not the Gauteng regional office. Help us just understand where does that office fit in. And then my final point would just be on the reports as well. We do know that the Statistician General is doing excellent work with a yellow suit on providing to us very reliable statistics. Has any consideration been given to request Stats South Africa to make some of the statistics investigations? I don't know whether I'm using the correct term there, on your behalf, because we do find that the spread of the reports that we get from the Statistician General is extending well beyond just giving us figures of population numbers and housing. Then this continuous question that you're raising about the rescue, I think it's a good thing. But my concern is, say a company has employed 20 workers and you rescue it, would it keep on employing 20? Would it increase or will it decrease the number of people it employed, if we look at the situation of jobs? Because if we're talking about quality, I think that we need to do some introspection also on the quality of our intervention as Productivity South Africa. Thank you very much. Let's see if there's any last hands. Are we okay that we close on that? Please, CEO, Gigi.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the profiling of Productivity South Africa, the reality is when you go across the country and you ask about us, of 10 people that you ask, only 3 may say, we know. Precisely because, and I would link this question with the one on the regional offices. One of the things that we do, it's actually the critical thing that we do, is that to enhance the productive and operational efficiency of enterprises. To the extent that one of the input in that regard is, can you measure productivity? Can you develop productivity standards? to the extent that the research that we actually produce, if you talk about productivity statistics, that's one tool that we could actually release into the in the economy, whereby when workers talk about bargaining for wages, that's one tool they could use. But quite often we rely on somebody coming to pick up on our statistics, do something about it, and publish it. And that's the reason why you pick up that we would plan seminars, but we don't follow through on them. Why? Because there is reports that were supposed to develop and published were not published. So we had an extensive discussion with the board in this regard, that it cannot go on like that. To the extent that the focus in the future is at least per annum we'll have 4 seminars. In each seminar would release a report, and that would be in partnership with the department, so that the knowledge that we generate as an entity is actually used by the economy to benefit the economy. On the reports as well, of the 4 that we did not finalize, at least 3 have been finalized. The outstanding one is with the Department of Education. And sometimes, you know, the challenge is just the level at which there's an intervention. That I think the culture sometimes is of us not actually saying there's a problem to the extent that I can write to the minister and say, minister, we've spent state resources in this. Would you engage your counterpart so that at least somebody starts acting? We were not into that mode of doing things, but there's a movement in that direction. Relationship with CEDA, the reason why we're talking about skills development facilitators is because we get those numbers from CEDA. But also the observation that one made is we don't optimally leverage the service bouquet of CEDA. So recently I met the CEO of CEDA. We looked at their entire business as well as our business, and then we pulled a team together that would look at what are the things that we do together. So we are at the point where we'll be signing a memorandum of agreement. But also, we then went to the details to say we always talk about special economic zones, industrial development zones, but we don't have productivity in South Africa in those zones, which says we're disadvantaging those enterprises in those areas. And I would imagine the issues that you're raising about the Eastern Cape. Our involvement in the Eastern Cape is very minimal. But you'd realize that in the report, I haven't said, this is the work that we did in province this much, because that was not our orientation. To the extent that in the plan that we were talking about 2017-18, actually we are then beginning to say work should happen in the country across. It also talked to that issue raised about the regional offices. Chair, allow me to say it's regional offices by name per se. I spoke about physical presence. To the extent that we do have a fully fledged office in KwaZulu-Natal as well as the Western Cape, in Gauteng it's hidden within the head office. But if you look at the work that we're doing now, because that is closer to head office, there's a bias to doing a lot of work in Gauteng than everywhere else in the country. Part of what we're doing in terms of our business model is to break this thing so that we have fully fleshed the regional offices. And you can see in the budget, in essence, we would just say regional offices should fend for themselves, which is not the right thing to run an organization. But we've given that attention, and we're beginning to see a movement. The question around leveraging the shortcomings in relation to market access. At one level, if you look at it, the three things that we talk about, if you manage cost and reduce it to a minimum, effectively your pricing becomes better. Secondly, if you have an order and you fail to deliver when it's expected, you lose clientele. Now, our approach is empower the enterprise so that you lower the cost to the minimum, you assist them to deliver with speed, and then they deliver a quality product. Effectively, if you look at the management approach to that, you get traction in the market. The issue is to what extent do we do it at industry cluster so that you're able to pull a number of industries in the manufacturing sector, put them on the program so that collectively they apply those three principles. And then you can see a difference. Some of these companies that we're showcasing, what we have started to do is to say to our research unit, once we intervened in 2014-15, go back to those companies in 3 years so that you are able to see whether they have increased unemployment, they have increased their turnover or profitability. But of critical importance, what we factor in the agreement is that the gains of productivity must be shared. So that if there's a movement in terms of turnover, profitability, then we should also see it in wealth generation, the wealth of the workers, because they've contributed to this. And that's a measurement that we've put in terms of the money that we get from the UIF. What value do we give to UIF? Do we save them the contribution? We must measure that. Two, if workers are saved from retrenchment, effectively they continue contributing towards the taxes. We should measure that. So that effectively when we say UIF gave us 97 million, then we should have specific measures that are industry related and impact oriented, so that on a continuous basis we can be able to measure those. So as part of our plans moving forward, those are things that we have put in place. On the staff essay, thanks for that input. We have not, although we were just generating statistics and giving it to staff SA, but we have not formalized a relationship in that direction. With the turnaround solutions program, yes, we do help companies that are going through distress. And that is why we're saying the objective here is once you've identified them, because they will be going to the CCMA in terms of Section 189, that is why we partner UIF, is to ensure that at least we put a basket into which they would follow. One of the things that we are looking at in terms of the future as per the Act is that we should also begin to look at our interventions in terms of re-employment. That if they perhaps could not save those jobs, what can we do in the event that they have retrained? We just had a meeting with the Mining Qualifications Authority, because our worry is the labor, what they call labor sending areas, so that at least we don't intervene after the fact. And I believe the issue that you're raising about workers who were retrenched and or were in companies where they were assisted and they're lying idle, with a partnership with FIDA, I think we'll be able to do much better. We have also worked, had strategic sessions with CIFA, the funding agency, and there's a commitment from their side that also they will put seed capital and then will intervene in terms of productivity competences. So we believe that with the plans moving forward, we'll be able to make a meaningful intervention. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Does that bring us to an end, honourable members? DG, can I just ask one question, particularly because of these regional offices, for clarification? DOL has an office in every province, if I'm right. Right, you do. Okay. I see you pointing there.
There was a question that the honourable member asked about the Timbaza factories that were closed, and what's our take on the matter. I'm from the Eastern Cape, and it pains me when I drive past Timbaza and see those factories that were closed, because those factories were meant to achieve a specific goal. Two things. One, to provide employment to the local people in the area. Secondly, it also achieved it also stopped people from moving into urban areas. So that was a good strategy. I'm of the view that those factories should be open. And in every engagement that we've had with provinces, we also impress upon them to see to it that we all work together to leverage on the existing infrastructure, because there's an infrastructure that you have there. And you have the same thing in Free State, you have the same thing in almost all the provinces, especially infrastructure that was built by the homeless. You have good infrastructure that we can utilize. What we're trying to do now, as part of scaling up the labor activation program, is to see to it to an extent how we can help people to build their own to start their own companies. We've done projects in Free State. We've done projects where currently you have workers that are owning their own businesses. It goes through the program that we run in the department. So we will be looking at to what extent are we going to go back to those factories and see to it that there's some economic activity taking place in those, especially in the rural areas. I think that's going to be the key for us. Chair, you raised the question, and I understood your question to mean that after productivity, South Africa has intervened in an entity, do they reduce employees as part of the interventions that we make? Because if that happens, that will be counter to what we seek to achieve as a department, that of saving jobs. So as part of what we do, is through the training layoff scheme, once the company is still under the business rescue mode, we help the company, because part of the issue with productivity is that its very definition is that it's input over output. Now, the labor cost is one of the costs that are targeted by the employer. So what we do is we take a portion of that cost
just to make sure that the company breathes, it has life, up until it reaches its full stage in terms of the cycle. And then we give it back to them so that they can start paying the employees. So we take care of the salary side of things and train the employees once they are still under the business rescue, and we do it through a program called a training layoff scheme. So we work, that's why UIF is funding them. There's a close relationship between Productivity South Africa, CCMA, and UIF in terms of job saving projects. I think that's the point I wanted to clarify, Jefferson. The last point is, I think the CFO was shy to mention this. He inherited an entity which was in disarray. And I think you can see from the financial position of the company, and also from the performance of the company. Of the entity, I mean, it's performing at 34%, and what you're talking about is actually the performance that he was not responsible for. The previous CEO was responsible for that kind of a performance, and that's why we appointed him to make sure that he steers the ship out of the muddy waters, and he seems to be doing a good job so far. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DJ. Also, CEO, you also have our support in, as DJ put it, steering the ship out of the muddy waters. It's an interesting saying, because ships are very seldom in muddy. But we've seen what has happened in Italy. Can I end by thanking you, CEO, the DG support staff, for the presentation that you've done. It has been quite informative for us. I'm thinking particularly of our oversight responsibilities. That as you were talking, my favorite one, of the people in the Northwest that are making briquettes that are environmentally friendly. And there's a small zone there where they're operating from. We raised it with the DTI to say that these people are there. But as you have said, because Productivity SA is not there, they produce their stuff and then they ship with it on the shelf. So we're hoping that we could work with you. If you're asking us to push for an increase in your budget, you may not be as successful as when you ask us to assist you to enhance cooperation with the Department of Small Business Development, with CEDA, with the IDC, with DTI, with tourism, with EED. Those are the type of things that we can do, because we know fiscal constraints is really tight on us now. I have this last point, after I've thanked you now, completely different matter, that I just think it's important to raise. It's about the Unemployment Insurance Fund. We've had our staff from the Department of Labor making reference to the Unemployment Insurance Fund and how it's helping with that, how it's helping with the other. For us, as members of Parliament, we have to be rigorous in terms of watching that space, that it is an Unemployment Insurance Fund. Now, I don't know how many of you are aware that yesterday the minister in, was it the DG? Was in Braamfontein? Was it you? I didn't look at the pictures. You were in Braamfontein. There's a building that was bought in in Braamfontein for student accommodation, utilizing the unemployment insurance fund. I have no problem with that because it's a way of taking money that would just be there and utilizing that money so that you can also get more money so that the workers can have a greater benefit. It makes no sense to just leave money there. You know, like this woman in the Bible who buried her talents. Sometimes you have to use it in order to generate more. But we're sitting with this big money in the employment insurance fund, and you look at the road accident fund, and there's no money there. It's two completely different departments. But we're saying that it might be necessary for us as members, when we look at the funds that are there within the departments, to not only look at how the departments are spending money, but how they utilize that money in an effective manner. I mean, the investment that is being done with the unemployment insurance fund there provides accommodation for many of our students at the universities. One of the issues, because that's my constituency, that I've looked at is this young man who was in his third academic year. He stayed in this house. There was a short on the electrical circuit. The house burned, and he was burned to death in his third year of study. Terrible blow to his parents. So we need to look at the safety of our learners at centers of learning as well. That being said, just the final point then, members. For the minutes, it's going to be important that we register apologies. And I waited until the end of the meeting. What apologies do we have registered? Grace, just help us with that. Now, for the second meeting. The secretary has not received any apologies for the second session. I know that Honorable Dikhale told me that she has a meeting, but it's not a written apology, so it's not noted. I know that Honorable Londo is here, also not a written apology.
Yes, Chairperson, but I got a message from him that he had asked one of our secretaries, Haronisa, to report to you that he was held up at SARS, but he was planning to come immediately with release, but I note that he's not here. I was hoping he would come anytime, but I really sincerely, you know, tender his apology on his behalf. He was planning to come. You know him, he's a very disciplined man. Member of this.
Yeah, we can only note it. If we have nothing in writing, it's not an acceptable apology. Let's honor that rule, honorable members. Let's have a written apology. If not, then it means that the member is absent. Thank you very much for your dedication, your attention, your engagement, your vigor throughout the day. We are meeting again as a committee tomorrow at 10 to engage with the Department of Trade and Industry on interventions in the poultry sector.